Coming in hot, 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 Lisa shares her financial tips and strategies to build wealth, have fun with finances, and be debt-free without having a restrictive budget. From bankrupt to millionaire, Lisa knows what it's like to feel as if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Her unconventional money multiplier system is the very wealth protocol that enabled her to retire 2.5 years early, pay down $100,000 of debt in 6 months, and move to her dream home at the beach. Hey, hey, welcome back to this episode of iDate Money. I'm your hostess, Lisa Drennan, your wealth activator. And today we are having an awesome conversation with Sahara, who is a wealth of knowledge that stems from a culmination of personal and professional experiences, from therapist to community engagement to supervisor and entrepreneur. As a life strategies and curators of ideas, Sahara fuses clinical expertise with her passion for program development. And she's an author of a few books as well. I love what you're doing in the therapy world. You know, therapists sometimes get a bad rap when it comes to working with people because people feel like they have to be in therapy forever to get any results. You're like, no way, that's not true. Oh,
that is a fallacy. Work to get the results.
Yes.
And the work does not come overnight, but, you know, sustainability, you know, you don't become a subject matter expert on anything by doing something one, two, or three times. It does require some consistency, working through the nuances, showing up as your authentic and vulnerable self. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, right? And then life is also happening while you're in the midst of working on it. So you're trying to manage that as well. So that is what contributes to kind of the length of time that somebody may be in therapy.
Yeah. And I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I've been in therapy forever. I'm not in therapy right now, but it's something I definitely tapped into when I was 18. Cause you know, we have a lot of baggage. We have a lot of experiences, a lot of, you know, life happens, right? And everyone Absolutely. Experiences trauma in some way. And like, especially coming from a divorced family and, you know, and then your own hurts and stuff. So I love what you're doing and how you're supporting people in your world. I understand you work with couples and, you know, this is the iDate Money show. So we're going to parallel the couples, you know, because one of the things I hear a lot from my clients is, well, he won't do the work. He won't come and sit down at the table and date money and manage the money and do all the things that you're sharing with us. And he's a jerk. So what is your perspective as a therapist, how would you handle that?
So it really goes back to relationship with money, right? And so that stems from, as you're talking about, some childhood things for some people, not everybody. Some things happen later on in life that really cements how they view money and how they engage with it and whether or not they see it as a tool, as something they absolutely have to hold on to. And that varies based on individuals. So I think really getting down to where did they come up or what did they learn about the value of money, what it's used for, how you get it? Do you use it to make more money? Do you use it just for your basic essentials? Really kind of grinding down to that part is going to be important as opposed to kind of the judgmental, he's a jerk and they just don't understand and they don't care. It's generally not that people don't undercare, they don't care. It's more that they have different perspectives and experiences that have influenced how they use money. And so getting down to that helps people have a better understanding of their partner. And then they can work on, now that we know that this is your stance, your belief, your ideas, and where it comes from, and then also for the same person, now let's work on blending. Because sometimes in couples therapy, one person wants to be right, right? One person wants to say, no, you're wrong, come on my side. The other person saying, no, you're wrong. And so then they're just kind of butting heads and not making a resolve. And they find themselves in what we call a perpetual cycle, which is frustrating and often draining for them. So recommending figuring out where does this come from, their beliefs, how has it influenced their experiences with money? For some people, it could be they grew up very without a lot of resources. And so they want to hold on to it very, very tight and they don't want to take any risk at all. There are other people that learn that very, very early on that you have to invest in order to grow, whether it's in your education, in your business, et cetera. So we get into all of that in therapy when individuals come in talking about money and the problems, really the mindset about
yeah. Yeah, and my mindset is the crux of all that we do. And when we think about money as a person, you know, I love to personify my business, money, all the things. And when we think about money as a person and coming in and we're talking about, like, you know, two couples fighting over money, and money is a tool that they get to use and share, but it's almost like it's a child that they're pulling it apart. You know, yes. And you got that scarcity mindset and that abundance mindset, and one wants to spend, one wants to save. And, you know, they're not in total agreement. And money's like, stop, just love me and let me do what I need to do to make it multiply.
Absolutely. You
know? And when we think about it, it's just like when you can step back and say, okay, this is how money can work for us. And yeah, we both have different goals, but how can we marry those goals together so that we are in unison, that we are creating these money buckets that have these beautiful things that we get to do together and individually as well. You know, a lot of times couples will keep their money jointly, like, you know, they'll have the joint bank accounts, but there's a lot of couples that I work with that's foreign language to them. They're like, oh no, this is our second marriage. We keep our accounts separate. There's a prenup in place. Well, how do you deal with that conflict or that attitude, I guess, is more like it.
I say it's a process of trust and vulnerability that's really involved in that, because now we are really allowing past experiences to dictate how you navigate the road ahead. And you really want to be cautious with that, because you are judging your current partner, spouse, whomever, based on the actions of someone else. And is that really fair? And if the roles were reversed, most people would say no. How comfortable would you be if they are then treating you based on how somebody else treated them, right? And they come in with this caution. And so we really work on, let's get to the vulnerable space, which can be uncomfortable for people, right? You want to protect your heart, not get hurt. And that's really what it's about. The money just happens to be the thing that we're talking about. But at the core of it, it's about being able to fully trust your partner, trust yourself, because sometimes it's lack of trusting their own decision-making with who they've chosen. And what if I made the wrong choice and this person betrays me? How do I navigate all of that? Because I've now felt betrayed by somebody else and my partner, and I should have known better. So then guilt and shame and a whole host of other things come into play when we look into that. And so I say, let's get to what it means to be vulnerable and making really baby steps, right, towards that blending, if that's the ultimate goal. Because some people are completely okay with separate accounts. Both are fine with it. They see no problem. And if that's what works for them, then that's fine. But if you're really talking about blending your lives, parenting, you know, making life decisions long-term together, then there's going to be some enmeshment. There's going to be some overlap, and maybe making small contributions towards something joint. And then as you feel more comfortable building that over time, that's the way that I do recommend, versus saying one, it has to be one way or the other, because people tend to resist, right? When you're like, make these sweeping changes, anxiety comes into play and it becomes too much. And so then they shut down, and that's the opposite. You know, it's counterproductive to what we want.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned betrayal, and I know behind you there's the book that you wrote about betrayal. And a lot of times people feel like money has betrayed them, that money isn't showing up for them, and, you know, they don't have enough income. What has been your personal experience? Have you ever felt that money has betrayed you?
I have not felt that money has betrayed me. I believe that sometimes we, and even self, have betrayed money, right? Because we haven't used it properly or fully understood the benefits and the tool. Like, it really is a tool. And once you come into that awareness, it can really shift things for you in terms of how you use that tool to help you grow and leverage opportunities that become available. So I don't believe that money can do what we tell it to do or not do. That's what I believe. So once you get that knowledge about it, which we know everybody is just not exposed to for a myriad of reasons in terms of their parents. I know I can speak for me. My mother paid her bills, and bills were always paid. So that was the lesson that I grew up, you know, in my early 20s and early 30s, saying, okay, you pay your bills, you're good, but there's more to it. And so when you learn that, then you're like, oh, I haven't been using this to its capacity like it could be. And let me learn how to do that so that it can be more beneficial to me outside of the day-to-day life.
Yeah, I love that. And when you think about your earliest childhood memory, when you first connected with money, can you tell us about that?
So I had a couple of different experiences. Like my parents were very different in how they managed and their relationship with money. Okay. My father is no longer here, but I loved him dearly. I'm a daddy's girl through and through, but he liked to gamble. So he was a little more, his risk was much greater. Like he was willing to take risk. And I see a little bit of that in myself in terms of like when it gets into investing and things of that nature versus my mom is more like, what's in the bank account, right? Are the bills paid and what's in the bank account? And that's what matters. Any risk, you know, I think makes her, it seems like, I don't want to, you know, label it, but it seems like it makes her a little nervous or uncertain because she didn't grow up learning about that, right? It was a, what can you get? I have stability and that's what's important. So I find myself to be somewhere in the middle. I'm not a gambler. It's not my thing. some people love it. That's a hobby for them. Great. But I do know that I'm willing, particularly in business, to take a risk because you have to take a risk in business. There are no guarantees, right? So you're putting yourself out there. You're investing in resources and paying subcontractors to do things for you. And with the hope, right, that it's going to be fruitful. And so that's the goal is if I'm investing in something, what's the long-term goal, whether it's business or stocks, et cetera, and going from there and knowing that it won't always be an upward trajectory. Like I'm conscious of that. Maybe that's a therapist in me that there will be ebb and flows or just seeing how life happens for us that there won't be ebb and flows, but things tend to balance themselves up and it just goes up slowly. It's just not a like we like for it to be. So
right, exactly. Yeah. And I on my website, the idatemoney.com, there's a money dating game where you get introduced to seven money archetypes and Gary the Gambler is one of them. And a lot of times people will hear that and they'll be like, oh, I'm not a gambler. And I'm like, if you're an entrepreneur, you are so. Because like you said, we're taking risk every single day.
You're taking risk.
And, you know, and anytime you make an investment in anything, you're taking a chance, you know, even if it's a conservative investment. And I always tell my clients, you know, like, well, I want to be able to grow my investments and to retire in 10 years. Like, okay, do you know how much risk you have to put forth in order to be able to accomplish that? Yeah. You know, and everyone like will, I won't pick on anything in particular, but people will be attracted to fast, quick ways to multiply their money. And that's not how it happens. It's just, it takes time. Just like you nurture a relationship, you know, you need to nurture that relationship. You need to get to know that person, you know, trust that person in order to get to that layer of vulnerability, you know, and to build that beautiful partnership. It's the same way with money, like in your investments, in your strategy. And if you don't have anything in place, it all goes to pot, right? There's nothing, if you don't have an SOP in place for your back-end financials, your business, your personal, there's not going to be anything. And I have a lot of clients that come to work with me and they'll make like $400,000 a year and have zero in savings. And I'm like, oh, so, you know, what have you been doing with your money? I'm not quite sure. Well, you know, are you and your partner on the same page? Oh yeah, we do the same thing with our money. We both spend it.
Yep.
Usually opposites attract. So when you're working with couples and they're like, they have this, they're on the same trajectory and they're in agreement with everything. What do you find the biggest challenges with them in helping them like get that balance in life, especially when it comes to their money?
So one thing that if they have children together, that's not always the case, right? If they have children and we start talking about what's the message you're sending to your children, that usually resonates with people like, I didn't realize whether it's communication, right? Because that's the source of some things, communication, money management, what message are you teaching to your children and what would you want them to know? And are your actions in alignment? Like asking those questions and then having them think about an answer and they see how they're showing up usually is kind of a ding, ding, ding. I might need to make some shifts because this isn't what I have in mind, because most people want better for their children, right? And so they want them to be in a better position. They're like, while I didn't think about that. I was just thinking about day-to-day life, providing for them, et cetera, but not thinking about the message I'm sending by them observing how I show up, how I interact with money or not. And realizing that this is the time for them to learn, right? Versus waiting for them to get out on their own. And they're like, well, my parents, they made money, they spent it. And that's what we do. And they, begin to repeat the cycle and they learn later on. So using the children, if they exist, has really, really been helpful. And then just talking about what are your long-term goals together? Because there are some couples I found that are really on autopilot. They haven't sat down, and I tell them it's really like a business, right? Businesses start off with beginning your goals, and then they follow up to say, are we on the path to achieving those goals? Do we need to make some adjustments? Are you doing that in your marriage or your relationship? And more times than not, well, we started that way. We thought about it. We said we were gonna do it. And then a year has passed, 5 years has passed, and it's a thought, but never action. So we talk about scheduling things to make them more accountable for that. And that also seems to help. So when they do that and they start looking at what are our collective goals, we also know that you're going to have individual goals and making sure that those are considered, you know, for those that are like, I don't want to lose myself in this relationship or disregard everything that I have had in mind, particularly for those that get married later on in life, or even those that get married early and they're like, who am I outside of this relationship, right? That's a whole nother level of discussion. So those are some things that I prompt them to consider and reflect on that help them be more considerate and then make shifts as needed.
Yeah, I love that approach. It's so important to have that communication open and to talk things out. And, you know, we don't get taught these things. We catch them, like, especially like the little ones. They absorb everything that we do and ignore everything that we say.
I tell them this all of the time. Like, they don't care about what you say, but they are definitely paying attention to what you do for sure.
Absolutely. So when you, in your own personal journey with money, with finances, you know, I like to, my clients, we create money buckets. So money buckets are our goals that we, you know, like, what is it that we want to accomplish? What do we want to do with the money that we do have, you know, and what's the purpose of having all this money if you don't have a plan for it? So what's your most favorite thing to do with money?
Oh, my most favorite thing to do, if I'm thinking about like tangible things, I would say travel, like to have experiences. I'm like, I want to use it to have, I like nice everyday things, but those are not big to me. You know, for some people, they like Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and all of those. I could care less about those labels personally, but I want to have experiences and I want to share those experiences with people that I'm close to. And so in an ideal world, to be able to be like, let's go. And we all go and we do, and we have this experience that we've been talking about for months or years on end is really what would speak to me. And that leaves a lasting imprint on my life.
Oh, I love that. Lots of people say travel, and traveling is a great way to experience money and to be able to go where you want to go and not have to worry about, oh, and can I afford this? So when you think about your purchases that you've made in the past, or, you know, even recently, what has been the best investment that you've ever made?
Right now, I'm going to say my car. One of the best. I mean, I have property, but the car that I have, because I don't have a car note. And I'm like, there are some people that I know that would be like, you know, they want the newest, hottest thing. But again, that's not as important to me as experiences. And so to be able to have a car for over 10 years and it still be in good running condition, I'm like, that was a good investment. Job, Zahara. Good job. Now, of course, a place to live is always a great investment. That's always, always nice. But yeah, my car, I'm grateful for it. I hope it hears me and keeps going.
I just replaced my car after 11 years. So yeah, we keep our cars for a long time. It's a very good investment, especially when you enjoy driving them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a fun money bucket?
I do have a fun money bucket. I'm not super restrictive with it. I'm really mindful of like does it speak to me? I allow things to speak to me. Like if it's speaking to me, in particular, if I've left and I've come back and I'm like, yeah, that I need to get that. Right. And it's within the confines of, you know, what's reasonable. Then I will go and do that. But if it's something like, oh, this is really, really nice, and I'm just excited about it for the moment, and I walk away and I forget about it, then that's also a sign that it's not that important in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. My fun money bucket's my favorite just because it gives me the ability to, oh, this is how much money I get to spend this month. Cool. And I have to spend it by the end of the month, because a lot of times people don't enjoy their money. And I think it's like in a relationship, they kind of get stagnant. Like you get to the point where you've been with your partner for so long, you run out of things to talk about, you know, you don't spark it. Like you take that for granted. Right. And I think we get into that, you know, that attitude towards money as well. It's like we take it for granted and we think, oh, it's only here to pay the bills. Must have said something that money didn't like.
Didn't like it, right?
Having a coughing episode over here. But when you think about it, like, you know, a lot of times people will say, oh, money isn't here for me. I only need it to pay the bills. I just want this amount just to cover my needs and maybe a few desires. And I would always, like, my comeback is, if you treated your partner like that, how long would your partner stay? So in your experience working with couples, did you ever, like, I mean, like, a lot of times people believe that couples go to therapy because they're at the break, you know, they're at the point of like, I don't know if I want to be with this person. And paralleling to money, it's almost like you're telling money the same thing. Well, I don't know if I want to be with you. You're only here to pay the bills. So what's your perspective on that with working with couples?
There's a lot of truth to that some people will wait, but that's also because people haven't necessarily normalized being proactive. And it's more of a reactive stance, right? So it's kind of like with money, waiting until you get down to just enough. And you're like, oh, I need more. What am I going to do? And you're kind of in a frantic state. So I think that that's where the parallels lie between couples that do wait until the last minute and they are literally on the last string holding on and trying to grasp for something, right? But they've allowed so much to build up that created a gap in space. That, which is why it takes work, and they might feel like it takes forever for them to get to goals, but they've allowed so much time and circumstances to come between them, and now they're just grasping. And the same with money, of waiting until it's almost scarce or non-existent to be like, oh, I need some more. How do I make more money? How do I hustle? How do I find another job? Whatever that is. And being, again, proactive, like looking at your money, whether it's on a monthly basis with your budget. I'm sure you talk to people about these things all of the time and saying, what do I have? What do I need? What am I spending in excess? Like that check-in with yourself and then exploring what shifts do I need to make, if any, to make this more comfortable, more fun, and it to be a good experience for you versus a just enough experience. Because who wants a relationship like that? Whereas it's okay, just enough to get me by. That's not exciting. That's not something that people would want to run home to. And then that shows up in their actions and how they encounter each other.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when we think about that, having that open communication, I mean, dating money is about meeting with your money once a week, celebrating your income, your assets, looking at, you know, giving thanks for having to pay your bills. Like you get to have gas and electric, you get to have, you know, food in the fridge, you get to, you know, have gas in your car. I mean, these are wonderful gifts that we get to use every single day. And when we start to see money that way, like our money is a tool that gets us the things that take care of our four walls. And then we get to really honor that and be able to create that reciprocal energy of giving and receiving, instead of focusing on, oh, money's not here for me. And because when we start talking to our partner like that, then they're not there. So, you know, whatever we focus on expands. Tell us a little bit about your book that you wrote, Betrayal.
So after Betrayal, it started off as an article submission for a magazine, an online article submission. And then it kind of took a life of its own because I was seeing so many people that were dealing with hurt, whether it's individuals or people in relationships, and the need for healing, because so many people get stuck. And that really does go to what we were talking about earlier of like this past relationship or this past experience with money or someone else now dictating how you move forward. And people are unhappy. They're feeling insecure. They're feeling unsatisfied, guilt, shame, et cetera, and not really able to move forward and enjoy life. And so really figuring out some things that they need to let go of and heal from. And it includes, so it's a workbook. So it's not super academic focus. It is very relatable and so and digestible and intended for people to really sit down and do the work, ask themselves the necessary questions to get, because it's after betrayal, the journey from pain to peace, right? So you're in a space of pain and just isolating, uncertain, just kind of navigating through life. And like, how do I get to a place where I feel good again? I feel secure. I feel like I've learned, because I do believe there are valuable lessons, even in painful experiences. I learned some valuable things about myself and what I need in order to move forward in a healthy and productive way. So I don't find myself continuing in cycles that are counterproductive to joy and happiness.
Oh, I love that. That's so needed. And listeners can get that on Amazon.
You can get it on my website. I'm not sure if I'm going to do Amazon or not, but yeah, my website is where you can grab the book. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's the website?
Zahara, Z-A-H-A-R-A, Rain, R-A-Y-N-E.com.
Okay. Awesome. Perfect. And we'll include that in the show notes too. So can you share with us the best financial tip that you've ever received that's helped you get to the next level in either your business or personal life?
I would say the best tip, well, it's two, right? Invest in yourself, right? That is the only way you're going to grow. And that could be in knowledge, in resources, in experiences that are going to help expand your mind. And be willing to, and that's in alignment with investment, take calculated risk. We do not grow through safe spaces. And that's important to know. It will keep you stagnant and small, and you have to dream big. So that's my financial advice. /life advice.
I love that. That is so beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your expertise. Yeah, it was my pleasure. Loved having you here. And those of you listening, please check the show notes and connect with Zahara wherever you need help. You know, she does individual counseling and couple therapies, and she's got some great books that she's co-authored. And of course, she's written Betrayal. So if I know a lot of you out there feel like you've been betrayed, not only by, you know, a partner or, a relative or a friend, coworker, what have you, but by your money too, because, you know, there are language patterns that you say that create this. What you focus on expands, and just getting the help, reading the books, connecting with Zahara, you can be able to get that information, the tools to help you get a different perspective. And when it comes to finances, creating that relationship, that open communication with your money, sitting down with money once a week and dating money, it's all about connecting and helping money see you. And you see money working for you, you not working for it. And remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.
It is.
Hey, 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 thanks for tuning into the show. Give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Get ready to activate wealth. Be the next millionaire with a simple adjustment of your finances using an energetically aligned money multiplier system. You get to build wealth by partnering with money. It's time to have fun with finances. Pick a date, the link is in the show notes, to book your wealth activation call where you will get the one solution to multiply your money. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.